Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Lynn S. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. Today is Thursday, February the 26th, 2026, and we're continuing our study of the Big Book in the chapter, There is a Solution. We're on page 21, the second paragraph, starting with, here is the fellow who has been puzzling you. And we're reading down seven sentences, ending with, becomes disgustingly and even dangerously antisocial. This morning, our readers are the 12 steps, Bev M, 12 traditions, Anne Marie M, and readers of the text, Wendy M, Martha Z, and Susan S. H. And the share ID for yesterday, Wednesday, February the 25th, the 7 a.m. meeting, was 23236. That's 23236. And the 10 a.m. meeting is 23237. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And this morning, Bev M. is going to read our 12 steps. Good morning, Bev.
Good morning. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to serve.
Thank you, Bev M. And Anne Marie M. is going to read our 12 traditions. Hi, Anne Marie.
Hi, Lynn. Anne Marie M. here. The 12 traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself, and our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Thus, problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Thank you, Anne-Marie M. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. And today we're resuming our study of the Big Book. We are in the chapter There is a Solution on page 21. We're in the second paragraph, here is the fellow, and reading down 7 sentences, ending with, becomes disgustingly and even dangerously antisocial. And this morning, Wendy M. is going to start us off. Good morning, Wendy.
Good morning, Lynn. Thank you. I'm Wendy M. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in North Carolina. Here's the fellow who has been puzzling you, especially in his lack of control. He does absurd, incredible, tragic things while drinking. He is a real Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. He is seldom mildly intoxicated. He is always more or less insanely drunk. His disposition while drinking resembles his normal nature, but little. He may be one of the finest fellows in the world, yet let him drink for a day, and he frequently becomes disgustingly and even dangerously antisocial. Thank you for letting me read these 7 sentences. What I love about this meeting is we digest it in these short little, whether it's a paragraph or 7 sentences, and then we get to hear from others, whether you're new or recovered, and how your higher power or God strikes you in just those few words, whether it's a paragraph or 7 sentences. And this morning, what's really being brought to my mind is, you know, my experience with relapse. And I'm so thankful to be recovered today and not living in that misery of the relapse was much more difficult than and puzzling, hard to understand, than the decades that I spent not even knowing I was a compulsive overeater. And that lack of control I can go through periods where I may look like I'm a moderate eater or that I'm in control, and I can follow a plan. I can stay disciplined. My life can look somewhat normal. And then at some point, it talks in here too, like we don't know the reason why. I definitely convince myself it's different this time, that I can eat my alcoholic foods, that I can handle just a little, that I can be like normal eaters. But once I start, I do lose control. And that's really been the story of the relapses. And I do want to say to the newcomer, relapse does not have to be a part of the story. I'm thankful that I did experience that. I also know that it doesn't have to. The book promises us that we can be recovered. And, it's not that I didn't know better, because I'd worked the 12 steps. I was in a recovered state. And it's not that I didn't care. It's that something shifted once I began eating. And the version of me that was kind of clear and grounded was completely gone. And that's that Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. I can show up responsibly. I can run a business. I can take care of a family. And then when food takes in over, it is quickly that things can change. And I don't see it when it's in the moment. I can look back on it and I can see, the 4 years in relapse, how out of control things were. When I was in it, I definitely did not see it whatsoever. Things got out of control with relationships, with my finances, the bedevilments, without a doubt. And I do look back on that and just, this reminds me, it's just not really about trying harder. Once I start, I do lose that choice. I do have a lack of control. And this is not about willpower and just remembering that, this saying in the 12 steps, every single day, helps me stay honest about the fact that I can't safely begin to eat that way ever again. And so I am so thankful that for today. Thank you, Lynn. I do know that. And thank you, I pass.
Thank you, Wendy M., for getting us started. The line is now open for sharing on what we just read. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others may share their experience too. So if you shared on Tuesday or Wednesday, please step back and let others have their turn. And please say your name just once, as it really does help me hear everybody. Who would like to share?
Kathleen O.
Anyone else?
Dolly R.
Was that Polly R?
It's a Dolly with a D.
Dolly. Dolly R. Yep. And Anne Marie M. Okay. So far I've heard Kathleen O, Dolly R, Anne Marie M. Who else would like to share, please?
Kelly G.
Polly G.
Kelly.
Kelly.
Yes.
Goodness. Thank you, Kelly G. Okay. Anyone else?
Shelley B.
Okay. Got room for a couple
Rita
more.
Rita Q.
Sorry, who was that?
Rita. Rita Q.
L-I-S-A.
Or I-T-A. Or for Romeo.
Rita.
Yes.
Okay. Gotcha. Thank you. Okay, we have our lineup. Thank you, everybody. Kathleen O, Dolly R, Anne Marie M, Kelly G, Shelley B, and Rita. All right, Kathleen, good morning. Welcome.
Good morning. Can I be heard?
You can.
This is Kathleen O from Maine. What jumps out at me with that paragraph is I have stopped so many times, but staying stopped. And once I start again, whether it's food or alcohol or whatever, to me, I grew up in such a way that hurt people. And so who's easiest to hurt but myself? And I can't even say I enjoyed that binge food. I stuffed those feelings. And so hurt people. And I hurt myself with food. And today in my program of recovery, for me, working with a sponsor, working with other people is helping me to help myself, to ask God to help me, to take a moment to pause and to pray. So I'm so grateful for this paragraph and for this morning. So I hope everybody has a blessed day, and thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Kathleen O. from Maine. And next up is Dolly R., followed by Anne-Marie M. Good morning, Dolly, and where are you calling from, please?
Good morning. I'm Dolly R. From Colchester, Connecticut, and I am a compulsive overeater. Two sentences really stuck out. The first is that I am a real Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. I have a job, a position that I love, but it requires no mistakes. I'll put it to you that way, because it endangers another's lives, a life. And that's just a requirement. It's one of those things. And it's my responsibility to show up clear-headed. The other thing that stood up to me is about that I am dangerously antisocial. And this has happened twice, because I wanted to eat and I became septic, and I just ignored the signs and symptoms. I was abstinent during that period, but I just didn't want to go to the hospital. And the second was just recently, where once again, I ignored and still abstinent, but I'm antisocial. I didn't want to go, yet I had a feeling that something was not right. And unfortunately, this last time ended up, could have been tragic. As it was, I had to have emergency surgery the day before Thanksgiving, and I ended up with, now this time, with a feeding tube. I am back to being able to consume food now, but I'm dangerously antisocial. You know, which is something I have to work on. You know, well, you do know. I don't have to say that. Thank you for allowing me to share.
Thank you, Dolly R. from Connecticut. Anne Marie M., it's your turn, followed by Kelly G. Good morning, Anne Marie.
Good morning, Kelly. Kelly, oh my gosh. Lynn, I'm so sorry. Thank you so much. This is Anne Marie M. in South Carolina. And gratefully abstinent through God's grace and mercy. And for some reason, I can't pull up the reading. But I know that when I compulsively eat, or when I did compulsively eat, I do become I did become antisocial. I isolate. I isolate with the food. And I just want to share that 9 days ago, a gift was given to me. I felt the Holy Spirit within me and the desire to compulsively overeat was removed. And I am so grateful. It's been 9 days where I did not have that nagging thought to compulsively overeat. It is a gift. It was nothing that I did in particular. It was a gift from God, and I'm so grateful. And God gave me this gift a few other times, and it was like I returned it, and I don't want to return it this time, so I need to be vigilant. I need to stay connected to God, you know, throughout the day, thank Him throughout the day, and ask to do His will, which I believe is to be of service to Him by helping other people. So I wanted to share that. When I consume any of my trigger foods, I was, you know, just antisocial was, oh, here it is. That's not it. I'm sorry. I was just looking for the reading, but I do become that was, you know, the antisocial thing. And I am like a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. And people have told me, you know, my daughter said, Mom, I can tell just by the look in your eyes. You won't even look at me straight in the eye, in your face. There's nothing to it. There's just sadness. And, you know, people have told me that I have a glow in my eyes. My whole face, my whole demeanor is different, you know, when I am in contact with God and when I am, you know, when I am connected and when I am not compulsively overeating. It's been a gift. I just want to offer hope to anybody else. And, you know, the key is
time,
being
please.
Connected to God. Thank you. I'll pass.
Thank you, Anne Marie M. from South Carolina. Kelly G., good morning, followed by Shelley B. Hi, Kelly.
Hi, good morning. Kelly G., recovered compulsive overeater in Florida. I was compelled to share because I so relate to being a monster and not a monster, whether I'm in the food or not in the food. And, you know, I just heard, and the truth is I was a monster either way, right? Because without God, without these steps, I'm a monster. But I just remember those days where, you know, it would be the morning I wake up after a binge and I am sweating, my bed sheets are drenched, and it is like, how in the world am I going to face this day? And I hated everyone. And the only way to curb or face the fact that I have to wake up is to eat more, because my personality would change. I would become this high as a kite person. And then as the binge and the high wears off, the only thing that's going to help me not be turn into that monster is to eat more. And then if I wasn't eating, I was so angry and miserable and had to feel the reality of the damage that I'm doing to myself. And it was terrible. I mean, what a way to live. I was dead inside. And I remember the rigidity, like the days that I wouldn't eat. It was like, okay, I'm not going to eat all day and I'm just going to have dinner at night. Or the days that I would eat, I was all social. I'd be like, hey, like to friends, do you want to go out to eat wherever you guys want? What do you want to? And it was like, and then if they couldn't that day, because that was a binge day, the next day when they wanted to go out to eat, I wasn't able to because I was on track. I was going to make up for the damage yesterday, but I never could. I never could. So today it is such a gift to be able to be the same person yesterday as I am today, as I hope to be tomorrow, where my behaviors are consistent. My mood, I can't say that's fully consistent at all times, but to be predictable, to be able to follow through on a plan and to not have to hurt myself, to be social. Like today, I love to be social. I love to go out and try new restaurants. I love to be around people. And I don't have to be drugged up on the food in order to be myself or have a good time. Today, I'm so grateful to be able to feel. Like, I can cry if I hear a song that I love, or cry if something's just, I'm overjoyed. Or I can get angry if that's fitting. Or I can get angry even if it's not fitting. But today I get to feel. And I don't get the luxury of other people to just have something take the edge off. But I don't really want that. Because I'm not normal. I'm at step one every single day. Like, I am powerless over people, places, things, food. I'm powerless over everything. And so thanks so much. Have a great day.
Thank you, Kelly G. from Florida. Shelly B., it's your turn, followed by Rita. Good morning, Shelly.
Good morning. This is Shelly B. in Iowa. So grateful to be here today, and it's been such a great meeting. You know, the thing that really stuck out at me is the Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. And I don't know if my experience matches everyone else, probably not. But when I was eating, like, I could be, what do they call that, fat serenity. I was a complete doormat and would allow people to do whatever they wanted because I had my best friend, the food, to help me feel better. And when that stopped working, something had to change. And I put the food down, and I'd love to say that I put the food down and things went really well. But for me, in the beginning, putting the food down, I was crazy. All of a sudden, I had to feel all the things that was happening around me, and it was uncomfortable. And I reacted crazy, did crazy things. You know, I went and bought two whole patio furniture, two sets of patio furniture, which, oh Lord. But as I started to work through the steps and recover, things have changed. And I get to be present today. You know, my son just spent a day in the emergency room and a couple days in the hospital, probably has an autoimmune disease, but we don't know yet. We're still working on that answer. And I didn't have to eat through it. And I got to be fully present, and I got to pray for the doctors and the nurses and the hospital and the surgeon and everybody that was taking care of him and him, because I could see the fear in his eyes. And that's a really hard thing for a mom to do, is to see the fear in their kids' eyes. But I'm so grateful. And I was so grateful that because I'm working the program, I have this network of loving spiritual people around me that I could share with. And I didn't have to go to the food for the comfort. And it was, you know, it was fantastic. I am so grateful for that. And it wasn't even, I didn't even feel grateful for it until another OA member said, what a grateful that you get to be present. And I was like, oh my God, that is so true. And you know, that's what I want to be today, is present. And I've learned that this is a whole new spirituality than it was when I was fat serenity. You know, it's different, and I have to grow, and I, you know, I have to be uncomfortable. Pain is the touchstone of all growth, as Bill says. And I have to be uncomfortable if I want to see what miracle is coming down the pike for me or someone else. And I'm really grateful that I get to do that with you guys and have so many wonderful people that share as well. So thank you. That's all I have.
Thank you, Shelly B. from Iowa. Rita, it's your turn. And if you could give us the initial of your last name and where you're calling from, please. Good morning.
Good morning. Hello. My name is Rita Q, Irish, but living in Manchester in the UK. Thanks so much for Team Thursday service as well. I was really struck about the emotional sobriety in this, because I was a fellow who puzzled myself. I would see other people eating normally. I would see them reacting normally to food, and I'd be thinking, what is wrong with all you guys? Why don't you want to eat like I do? What, you know, and I never realized I was a compulsive overeater. Almost like him in the way, I just thought I was greedy. But what really struck me about this paragraph was the Jekyll and Hyde for me. My husband did not know who he was getting. when I came in the front door, and I didn't even know who I was going to be half the time, because if I wasn't going to get a fix, or if things weren't working out my way, if my kind manipulation that I was always trying to play wasn't working, then I would just go from naught to batshit insane in absolute seconds. And, you know, I'm so relieved it's not my story now today. And the thing is, when the food went down, that's when it all came home to roost. I had to look at my behaviours and my motives. And now I have to think of my motives. And I had a really beautiful moment this morning. I swim really early in the morning. It's midday here, and I swim, you know, about 7 a.m. And the sunrise was coming up. There's windows beside the pool. And as the sun was coming up, and, you know, I was saying hello to everybody. It's a little community. It's so lovely. And I just had this overwhelming gratitude for my life. I had stage 4 cancer. I had to retire. I survived that. And I thought, being sober, being in this program is the greatest gift. You know, and having been so critically ill was the greatest gift, because it got me to here today. And I felt, and to be able to feel that gratitude and really feel it in my soul, I just feel emotional thinking about it, because that's been life-changing for me. Because any time I felt anything before, I put food and food and food on top of it. And I never felt anything. I just accept bitterness and resentment. And I still have resentment. Of course I do. But it comes in as quickly as it goes now, because that's what the step temple's just for me now. So I just wanted to share that today. I might have been one of the most felt, you know, finest fellows in the world, but when I was in the food and when it wasn't sitting me, you wouldn't have wanted to be around me. Not in my head, I know. It was a really dangerous place to be. And that spat out of me, and, you know, from all corners of me. And I'm just so glad now I have, you know, a design for living. As corny as that sounds, it is a great design for living. So I'll just leave it there. Thanks. I'll pass.
Thank you, Rita G from the UK. For those of us who might have come on the line a little bit later, where we are, we're in the chapter, There is a Solution, on page 21. And the second paragraph that starts with, here is the fellow, and we're reading down 7 sentences to where it says he becomes an even dangerously antisocial. So the line is now open for sharing on what we just read. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others may share their experience too. So if you shared on Tuesday or Wednesday, please step back and let others have their turn. And please say your name just once. It really does help me hear everybody. Who would like to share, please?
Natalie.
Morrissey.
Maggie.
Okay, hang on a second. I heard Natalie and I heard Maura. And gosh, there was somebody else. I just forgot.
Maggie,
sorry. Okay, we've got Natalie, Maura, and Maggie. Who else, please?
Melissa.
Okay. Anyone else?
Tuba K.
Is that Tuba?
Yes, T-U-B-A K.
Tuba K. Okay, great. Natalie, Maura, Maggie, Melissa, and Tuba K. Anybody else?
Veronica B.
Veronica. All right, let's go with that lineup. And if you could please give me the initial of your last name and where you're calling from when you start your share, that would be great. So Natalie, good morning, followed by Maura ZZ.
Thank you, Lynn. This is Natalie S., calling from Indiana, and I am realizing more and more that I am a compulsive overeater, recovered as best I can with God's grace and mercy. And I want to start out by saying that everything that I'm realizing has been due to learning how to connect with my God. And I have to do that every day. And in this reading, I regret the Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde that I was, that I'm now seeing more and more clearly. as I was raising my kids in my, you know, 30s, 40s, and then it was devastated. God took all that away from me in my 50s and really took everything away from me. And that's what it took, because I'm just in the program for 3 years and very grateful as I learn more. And what this reading reminds me of is that anytime I will have thoughts, I will have ideas, I will have circumstances, all sort of like biting me with a little, like a little gnat or a mosquito, and I want to swat it away, but sometimes the effect is still there, and I'm learning to recognize those little bites, and I'm grateful for this community and the way of life, because it tells me what I can do to get back out of those selfish thoughts. Anytime I start desiring food, for me, my ego is taking over. And it's as if those little gnats are drilling a hole in the foundation of what this relationship with God is for me. And if I don't fill those holes with Him, a caulk, however He wants to fill it, with service or whatever He's calling me to, that temptation does not leave. And I really don't want to have it come back. And it's been really interesting, because I'm working 3 different part-time jobs, which is exhausting, but I'm grateful. It's much better than it was a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago. I can provide for myself as an adult. But I'm rubbing elbows with people that don't do things I want. And I see God's desire for me to change and become who He wants me to be in it. But it causes me to want to eat or do some other behavior, like over-exercise, anything I can do to get that momentary comfort back. And it never lasts. It never, ever lasts. And I really wrestled with God this morning in my prayer about it. But what I've learned is that if I go to Him and just, thank you, lay it all out and ask Him to help, He never fails me. So with that, I will pass, and thank you very much for letting me share.
Thank you, Natalie S. from Indiana. Maura Zizad, good morning, followed by Maggie.
Good morning, my friend, Miss Lynn. Thank you for your service. Maura Z., gratefully recovered in Virginia. His disposition while drinking resembles his normal nature, but little. When I was in the food, and when I was not in the food because I was crazy, I was a raving lunatic. I had such anger in my life, such rage would spill out at the drop of a dime. I was just absolutely a miserable human being. And I refer to that period of my life as my miserable existence, because there was no happiness, no joy in my life, whatever. If I wasn't eating, I was thinking about eating. If I wasn't eating, I was nervous. I was anxious. I was, when can I get it? I need to plan my next meal. Where am I going? How am I going to hide the wrappers? How long is it going to take for me to get there? I've got to be very careful with my time. The amount of energy spent on planning, eating, was just absolutely abnormal. I am so grateful that I am not that person today. Do I still have anger? Yes. Do I still deal with a little bit of rage from now and then? Yes. Am I working on it? Yes. How am I working on it? I work these 12 steps every single day of my life, and they have taken me to a place that I never thought I could be. They've taken me to a place where I have a connection with a power greater than myself. I am not the person I used to be. She's in there. She can come out. All I have to do is pick up. And I pray, God, I don't pick up just for today. Just for today, because that's all we're given is this day. Let him drink for a day, and he frequently becomes disgustingly and even dangerously antisocial. I was the queen of isolation. I would accept invitations and then almost always, invariably, at the last minute, cancel them. I couldn't go. I was afraid to go. I was afraid to be with people. I didn't have the right clothing. I would look out of place. I didn't say the right things. I wasn't, you know, socially acceptable. I am not living that life today. I live a good life. I have friends. I have family. I have a job. Thank God I have a roof over my head. I have clean and abundant abstinent food and water in my life. I have so many blessings, and that's how I start my day. I thank God for all the blessings in my life. And this meeting was the gateway to peace. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you, Lynn, for service.
Thank you, Maura Z from Virginia. Maggie, good morning. It's your turn, followed by Melissa. And Maggie, your initial and where you're calling from, please.
Yes, hello. I am Maggie A. from Massachusetts. I've only shared a couple times in the past, and it's been a while. But, this is really good for me to hear because I am learning. I'm really slowly, but I am learning to rely on God for to feel okay, to live, to have a purpose and meaning in my life and not have to rely on sugar as a drug, because that's what I've done much of my life. When I was younger, it kind of crept up slowly. You know, I discovered candy and that it would help me feel better if there was any, mostly fear is what I, my most uncomfortable emotion that I would just, it just felt so overwhelming, and probably because I was brought up and my parents did their best, but I know fear was the motivator for just, you know, you better behave, you better be good or else kind of thing. And or at least I perceived it as something to just be really afraid when I felt any kind of a threat emotionally or so. But thank God for this program. And yes, I was, as I was a teenager, I realized that the sugar made me feel so much better and gave me this surge of crazy energy. That's what I could relate to from the reading today. You know, and sometimes I just did silly things. My friends thought, oh, you know, I entertained them by just doing really, well, one time I did do a crazy thing. I jumped on a moving train. Stuff I would never do otherwise, even back then. But I just, you know, loved the experience of, you know, the taste and just what the sugar did to me. And I just ran with it. And then as I got older and life got more stressful, got married, had several children, one with severe special needs, it was a coping mechanism, a comfort. And anyway, thank God that I am learning to rely on God, and I'm not completely recovered in complete recovery now, but I've come, you know, a long way, and I still need this program. I'm on step 8, so working with the sponsor, and I love this new way to live. It is difficult sometimes, but I'm really grateful, and thanks, I pass.
Thank you, Maggie A. from Massachusetts. Melissa, it's your turn, followed by Tuba K. Melissa, if we could have your initial, please, and where you're calling from.
Hi, this is Melissa S. from New Jersey. I'm a newcomer. I wasn't on at the very beginning to say that, but I'm a newcomer to this meeting. I don't know if it's allowed for me to say my number. I know it's something at the end, so I'll try to do
right
that.
Now,
I'm not on the list.
Yeah.
What?
You don't leave your number right now. Thank you. Yeah.
Okay. So this is This is my second time on this meeting. I go to a food meeting near me that I went to because I was doing, I was in other 12-step programs, and it was convenient, and it was the steps, and so I started going there periodically years ago, and I had been having health issues, and I have not been treating my body right. I'm not following the food plan that my doctor or myself wants to. And I don't know, just all these pieces came together and I was like, wait a minute. And I was like, I think I need this. And as I listen, this is much different than the meeting I had been going to. I'm going to try some other meetings. But as I listen to what everyone is saying, I'm like, oh, I think that. I do that. I am like, when I was growing up, I had a best friend who was really thin. And my mother was always really thin. And I was not as thin as them. But I was like, you know, I'm the only one who doesn't ever think about food or talk about food or talk about diets. In high school, I never talked about it. But when I look at myself in the mirror, I do not look like what I want to look like. And I don't feel good. And I have not been healthy. And blood work is terrible. And I cannot stick to what I am, what I want to eat. And I rationalize constantly. This is the last time. I'll have it today, but not tomorrow. And I've suddenly, from just listening to everyone, I'm like, this is becoming more, this is my drug of choice right now. I've gotten so much out of
time, please.
Oh, thanks. Perfect. Okay, thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you, Melissa S. from New Jersey. Tuba K., good morning, followed by Veronica. Good morning, Tuba.
Hi, everyone. I'm Tuba K. from Turkey. I'm grateful that we are on this paragraph today because it is something I can definitely and should share on. And I am not recovered. I have been struggling with relapse, and today is being hard, so that's why I especially wanted to share. And it talks about who I am when I'm in the food, or I say when I'm not recovered, because I can feel that right now as well. When I'm in the food with my substance, really life is impossible to live for me, especially when it talks about drinking before an important event. I definitely have a genius for finding the exact right, the worst moment to eat and like break my abstinence. And I lock myself in my room for days when that happens. I become extremely unsociable. I definitely do not want to see people, even the people I like spending time with. All I think becomes, even if it's someone who I love to be with, I start thinking, how can I go home sooner, make up an excuse so I can go and eat? Because it's that uncontrollable craving that controls my body and my whole being and my brain, and I can't focus on anything else. It's like I'm held hostage to that. And the worst part is, I believe when I'm not recovered, when I'm, you know, like working through the steps, I forget what that is. Like I do right now, I forget. And I start making up excuses, you know, it's okay. I don't have this problem. And yeah, I really love the saying, it takes what it takes, because I find that it really relates to me. Even if I go back, it means that, you know, it will take what it will take for me to have a step one. And yeah, it is really such a great opportunity to have this program, to get reminded that this is what I have, and definitely the solution being having a relationship with God. And I need to really work the steps as if my hair is on fire to have that, because if I don't, I will absolutely go back to the food. And I also would like to remind myself, the only perfect step I can take is step one, and I do not have to go back to the food if I do anything else imperfectly. I believe that God or my higher power will course correct. It will bring me back to the right path. And I'm so grateful to be able to share, and I will pass. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you, Tuba K from Turkey. Veronica, good morning. It's your turn.
Hi, I'm Veronica B. And I'm from Nova Scotia. And I am a compulsive eater, sugar addict, and I'm hiking with my dog in some snow. I'm a little bit winded, so please bear with me. So I've been calling into these meetings now for, I want to say, a year. And because I am so, well, lots of reasons, because I am, one of the reasons I am a detriment to myself is because I am so socially, I forget the wording in the book, but, and in reality, that's not true. The reality is that I'm afraid, I have a fear that I'm going to be found out, or, you know, like not even out of program, like people will ask me to, I'll meet people and they'll ask me to do something. I won't do it because I'm afraid they're going to find out that I'm this inherently bad person. And I've always felt that way. Like, I was adopted when I was a kid. And when my parents told me I was adopted, the first thing they told me was, I'm mixed race and I was born in 71. And in 1971, it was hard to adopt out mixed race babies. Nobody wanted them. And that was the first thing they told me was, you know, that I should be grateful because nobody, you know. So I just have like a lot to go through. And I was just talking to this. I'm in another program for a little bit now, and I've been sharing openly, and I've been absent in that program, and I'm meeting people, and I have a sponsor. And someone referred me to the special editions, which I'd already known about them, but I had never really listened to any of them. And so I listened to that one that she told me about, and then I just couldn't stop listening. And I know in my mind that you guys are not out to get me, and I know in my mind that I can call people, and if they're not busy, they'll talk to me. I know that. And I don't have to be afraid. And that thing is like, that is like, right now is the most important thing I need to overcome if I'm going to do this right. And anyway, I'm going to stop sharing now because I'm out of breath. Thank you for letting me listen, and thanks for these meetings.
Thank you, Veronica B. from Nova Scotia. And we do have about 1 minute left if anybody wants that 1 minute.
Hi, Sylvie K.
Okay, Sylvie K., please go ahead.
Thank you so much. I wanted to share, but I didn't have the I didn't know what we're talking about or anything, but I'm so inspired by all the shares. And I have been in this program a long time, and I still I'm struggling. I have two events coming up, and food events, and they do, like I've heard, they do keep me in fear. Like, I almost wish I wasn't going. It's so overwhelming to me. So I appreciate you letting me share and having a voice. Thank you, I pass.
Thank you, Sylvie K. Thank you to everyone who shared, and thank you to our tremendous team Thursday for their service in the month of February. Bev M., Anne Marie M., Wendy M., Martha Z., Susan S.H., Felicia S., and Robin L. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. And the share ID for today, Thursday, February 26th, the 7 a.m. meeting, is 23242. That's 23242. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And this morning, Martha Z is going to read, "Our book is meant to be suggestive only." Hi, Martha.
Good morning, Lynn. Good morning, my friends in recovery. This is Martha Z. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater by the grace of God from outside of Philadelphia. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.